Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we go back and we look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. This episode we have Netflix's 307th film from 2020. It's the Christmas musical fantasy called Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey. This one is directed by David E. Talbot, starring Forest Whitaker, Keegan-Michael Key, Hugh Bonneville, Anika Noni Rose, Felicia Rashad, Lisa Devine Phillip, Ricky Martin, and Madeline Mills. I'm Jesse, I'm your host. Thanks for joining me in, it's pretty much been Easter in 2024 as we record this episode. So a Christmas film at Easter sounds a little bit weird, but as always, if you haven't seen this film and you're keen on checking it out, give us a pause and come back a little bit later on because we will spoil this as we go. So we do kick the show off with the Fast Flicks, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one is about a skillful toy maker who has all of his blueprints stolen, which sends him into a decade-long ostracism. Interesting. So this was a surprise for me. We'll talk about it as we go, but let's work out how did this end up on Netflix. So we sort of go back to, I'm not going to go all the way back. I'm going to say, you know, this film, it was originally planned as a stage production, and this is all the way back in 1998. So that's pretty crazy. The film obviously was picked up by Netflix in December of 2017, where they bought the pitch from David E. Talbot, and it was called Jingle Jangle, with him signed on to write and direct the Christmas musical. We then go to September of 2018, where it was announced that John Legend and Mike Jackson had signed on as producers alongside David E. Talbot and Lynn Sisson Talbot. And then in October of 2018, we get a bit of a cast announcement with Forest Whitaker joining. And then in April of 2019, Keegan-Michael Key, Felicia Rashad, Anika Noni Rose, and Madeline Mills joined as well. In July of 2019, Hugh Bonneville joined the cast. And in October of 2020, it was revealed that Ricky Martin had joined as well. The film, it received 10 nominations at the 52nd NAACP Image Awards, which was the overall most to be held by a motion picture, tied with Black Panther and The Best Man from the previous years. The record was succeeded by The Color Purple recently, who passed a number of nominations, and that was 4 years after this film in 2024. The film's musical score, as I sort of mentioned, as it was, it's been sort of produced by, but John Legend and Philip Lawrence did some of the songs. The film was pretty successful, so following the success, David E. Talbot and his wife, they co-authored and released a 32-page picture book for kids titled The Square Root of Possible, A Jingle Jangle Story, in December of 2020, as well as a second book in 2021. The film was on the 2020 shortlist for the Academy Award for Best Makeup and Hairstyling, and we'll talk a little bit more about some awards soon, but the director, David E. Talbot, he said, "Before I started writing the film, Nick Nesbitt, who is the Netflix executive overseeing the project, said something that changed the course of his life as a creative. He said, as you're about to write this, I want you to write your imagination. We'll figure out the budget later." And the director, Talbot, said that he couldn't be hearing right because he was used to people saying, you know, you got $2 and don't spend more than $2.25. Well, that's going to be your 25 cents sort of thing. So he said, "I would always have to write with a ceiling and a box that I was put in." Talbot continued that he wasn't mad at it, but he was just trained that you can't go outside that box. Therefore, your imagination can't go outside the box. With that prompt from Netflix, Talbot said that it took about 3 days for him to sort of retrain his brain to think without a budget in mind. And he sort of thought about, you know, what is my imagination if I could do anything I wanted to with it? And what would that look like? And he sort of thought about it and he ended up doubling the budget that was originally set. But they were conscious, you know, with what he was doing and they wanted to invest in wonder. So another story here about Netflix sort of giving creators the freedom to do what they want to do, which is a nice little thing. Around the world, translations. So I guess we've got to talk about the English title, Jingle Jangle. So Jangle being our main protagonist, and then the second part of the film, A Christmas Journey. So it's obviously a Christmas film, and Journey is his granddaughter. So it ties in the two characters into the title. But in Spanish and Greek, it's called Jingle Jangle, A Magical Christmas. In Portuguese and Norwegian, it's called A Christmas Invention. Yeah, makes sense. You know, lots of this film is about toys being created and you know, thought processes. In French, it's called Jingle Jangle, An Enchanted Christmas. I'm not a big fan of that. Doesn't really hit the mark. German, it's called Jingle Jangle Journey. Not bad. In Hungarian, it's called Christmas for the Jangle Family. That's all right. Italian, Romanian, it's called Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Adventure. Japanese, it's called Jingle Jangle, Magical Christmas Gift. In Polish and Russian, it's called Mr. Jangle and the Christmas Journey. In Korean, Jingle Jangle, Journey's Christmas. And in Chinese, Christmas Bells, Miracle Journey. Interesting, very good. The working title, this one, and the original title, it stayed with a Jingle Jangle Christmas Journey. The tagline, a little bit lazy, this one. It's a Discover a World of Wishes and Wonder. I mean, you can come up with something better than that. That's super, super lazy. This was released in limited release in theatres on the 13th of November 2020, same day that it hit Netflix worldwide. It was actually filmed in Norwich in England from June of 2019. As I sort of touched on before, some big nominations across the awards categories. 26 in total, had 4 wins, 22 losses. What are the critics and audiences saying about this film? On Rotten Tomatoes, sits at 90% on 77 reviews. That is certified fresh, so very positive. Audience a little bit lower, 70%. That's on more than 500 ratings. IMDb a little bit lower again, 6.4 out of 10 on 21,000 ratings. Letterboxd again on the low side, 2.9 out of 5 on a bit over 20,000 ratings, but it's been logged by 30,000 people. And Metacritic, critics, it's in the green category on that traffic light system, a 69 out of 100 on 59 critic reviews, and the audience a little bit lower, a 5.8 out of 10 on 46 reviews. That is in that yellow traffic light system. What are my early thoughts on this film? I wasn't expecting this to be a musical. I didn't know it was a musical, so that surprised me. And once it started, I was fully in. This is almost a new Christmas favorite film for me, or a new favorite Christmas film. I enjoyed this. Let's talk about the characters. So there's not too much to say about the characters, really. A lot of the plot progression is done through song. So Geronicus is Forrest Whitaker's character. We see him as a toy maker and inventor, top of the game, loses it all, including his family. His wife passes away. His daughter sends her away. He can't deal with her. He goes into this depression. And this story is his journey in refining his spirit and his family. So that's where we're at with that. And this is almost done through his granddaughter, Journey. She's this bubbly, sweet girl who doesn't take no for an answer and helps bring some magic back to her grandfather through her love for inventing, just like he has as well. She gets along well with this other kid, Edison, who's working with Geronicus, and he wants to be an inventor too. So, you know, very family-friendly film, that idea that kids can, you know, achieve and accomplish and do things that support adults in the world. The villain, Gustafsson, he's the apprentice of Geronicus, who we see early in the film. You know, he loves him, looks up to him. He's just tired of living in his shadow and steals his plans and goes on to become the most successful toy maker in the world. And, you know, realistically, yes, he's an inventor, but he's not as good as Geronicus. So when the ideas run out that he's stolen, you know, he's got to go back and go for second takings from Geronicus. And that's where his sort of plan unravels. Jessica is Geronicus' daughter. She's the mother of Journey. She feels let down by her father. I mean, it would have been nice to see more of her in the film, because it's almost like she goes away, isn't in the film for most of it, and then comes back and reconciles. So it would have been nice to see her more. Mrs. Johnson, a good character in this film, very over the top, but she's like the postwoman who works in town. She's in love with Geronicus. She calls him Jerry, which really annoys him, but she sort of never loses faith in him. She's that supportive character that is always like, you're great, you're great, you're great, and he just doesn't want to hear it. So an important character in the film. And then Don Juan Diego is this doll that comes alive at the start of the film and sort of tempts Gustafsson to steal Geronicus' his work. And, you know, Ricky Martin plays the voice. Not in it much, but, you know, an effective little character there. The director, David E. Talbot, lots of Christmas films, lots of stage work. The big Christmas film, I guess, that we'd know on this podcast is El Camino Christmas, which was a Netflix original we did many, many years ago. So there is an episode in the deep dive of the catalogue. This starred Tim Allen in a different role from the Santa Claus films that you'd be used to. So not bad. I remember from memory, I didn't mind that film. So check that episode out. Let's talk about some scenes. What stood out? What didn't? What did we like? What didn't we like? I'm going to start off with, I pretty much enjoyed all the songs. I thought that for a musical, Christmas musical, really enjoyed the songs, really well done. So most of these are probably going to be the songs. The opening song for me, I mean, you know, it's about not giving up or letting life knock you down. Really cool song, really cool intro to the film. There's a cool little animated sort of segment to sort of tell the progression of time and the story of Geronicus losing his wife and Gustafsson becoming, you know, the biggest toy maker and his daughter, Jessica, moving away. That was really well done, really impactful. Mrs. Johnson, I mentioned I didn't mind her as a character. She has this song about picking yourself up again. Amazing vocals, really, really good. Journey, she arrives at Geronicus' place. She, you know, she comes to meet her grandfather for the first time and she's all up in his grill and he absolutely hates it and she hugs and kisses him. I thought that was really funny. Keegan-Michael Key. His first scene, just seeing him on scene was great because I wasn't, you know, I prepare for the shows, but I try not to know anything about the film. So seeing him on screen was really good. His song was good. And the dance about, you know, being known all around the world. That was really cool too. That Square Root of Impossible song, I think that's the highlight song by by Journey, really good. Dronicus, that song he does about believing, that was also another good song. And that Making It Work Again song with Jessica and Dronicus, sort of the two of them talking about trying to rekindle their work and their relationship. Great song, great vocals, really, really good. What didn't I like in this one? I think not much. I mean, little tiny things. There's a lot of math, and I understand that idea about inventing things and being creative. That's the theme of the film. I just didn't like the math being done visually on the screen. Not a big fan of that. And the only other thing, Mrs. Johnson, like most of her scenes, but there's a scene where she's got this new post truck and she gets a mistletoe out to try and kiss Dronicus, and then he has to help her start the truck. I just didn't like that. It didn't do anything for me. I mean, it leads into this snow fight that's pretty okay, but apart from that scene was pretty pointless. Themes, ideas, what's this film saying? Got to talk about representation. Almost entirely black cast, really well done. Effective to see these stories on screen. So that was good. Obviously, it's a Christmas film, so family, love, healing old wounds, forgiving, those ideas are in it as well. And I've touched on this too throughout, the idea of imagination, inventions, believing in yourself. It's okay to be smart, be yourself. Anything is possible if you believe. So some nice little messages there for the younger folk in our society. What did I take away from this one? There's this robot that they're trying to rebuild. I haven't touched on him, but this robot, it looked like Short Circuit. I haven't seen that film in a long, long time, but it's like an 80s film. This little robot looks like him 100%. And then the other thing, towards the end of the film, Edison and Journey, they go to the toy factory and they escape through these tunnels. And I thought that was like just in the back of my mind, I'm like, this would be a cool sort of theme park ride. So if Netflix do decide to make a roller coaster Netflix theme park ride, that'd be a cool ride. Giving them some clues. All right, I think we're ready to wrap it up. We give the film a rating out of 5. For me, this deserves repeat viewing at Christmas. I think it's really good. The songs are great. The choreography is really good. The visuals are excellent throughout. Nice story. Great cast. 4 out of 5 for me. Get on board. Good Christmas film. Much better than some of the Netflix things that I think we're covering in the upcoming weeks. So we're on socials. We have Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter. Question for this episode. I just wanted to ask, what happens when we drive away the people that we love the most? Because we see that Dronicus pushes his daughter Jessica away and he misses out on so much time, not only with his daughter, but with his granddaughter and that ability, that connection, you know, that he could have had so much earlier on and seen her develop and her ideas and her inventions. It's just sad to see that. So, you know, maybe we need to try and stop those push moments earlier. And I understand he's having a tough time, but it just seemed like such a long time. She'd grown up so much and he'd missed so much. So that was super sad. I'm ready to wrap it up. Let's talk about next week. Next week, we have a 2020 film. It's an Italian drama called The Life Ahead, or La Vita Davanti a Sé. It's directed by Edoardo Ponti and stars Sofia Loren, Ibrahima Gueye, and Abril Zamora. Interesting. International film next week. Keen to check it out, see what it's like. As always, give it a watch too if you're joining us next week, and I will speak to you then.